wanted to read the Thanksgiving proclamation again. I don't know the last time you heard it, but I like to educate myself, and I like to educate for maybe some young people who don't know or who haven't heard lately, that it'd be a good thing to read it, and then I'll just mention a few words and of thanks and let you out. Amen? Because I could easily keep you here all day. We could keep each other here all day talking about the things that we could give God thanks for, because they are numerous. They are, what is the word? Not numerous, but innumerable. Put it that way. They're innumerable. So I'm going to be jumping around in the scripture today, mentioning a whole bunch of different scriptures, so there won't be, we don't have a particular text that we're going to look at today. So let's pray, and we'll dive into the word, though. Father, we thank you now for this day that you've given us to come together. Indeed, this week, as we look forward to Thanksgiving with our families, good food and fellowship and so on. But it's all because, Lord, of your great goodness toward us. And so, Lord, as we come to your word, faithful are you, O God, to minister it. Lord, I pray that you would take it now and apply it, minister it to the heart of each one of your children, your sheep, whom you love and for whom you shed your blood. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. 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 So let me read this, which was issued back in October of 1863. It simply says this. This is a proclamation which set the precedent for America's National Day of Thanksgiving. You might remember that Abraham Lincoln issued this proclamation, although other proclamations had been issued by George Washington. JFK even issued a proclamation of Thanksgiving. You don't hear about it because of the ascendancy of this Abraham Lincoln's proclamation. And other presidents had called for days of Thanksgiving, even a fasting and prayer and so forth back in the day. But this is the proclamation from which we get our current National Day of Thanksgiving. And as I was just thinking about this week, I said to myself, this was issued in 1863. It is 2014. And as bad as it has been, as far as this nation has slipped from its Christian moorings, if you will, we still celebrate a day of Thanksgiving. And I had to stop and give God thanks. I just said, thank you, Father. Now, I know it's not what it used to be. I mean, they have commercials now to thank your dog for, thank your pet for all the... Yeah, and I'm like, okay, you know, but we still have a National Day of Thanksgiving. And I tell you what, beloved, you know, the more I live this life, the more I am trained to think, or the more I am moved by how significant you and I are, simply because we're made in the image of God. And when you and I say something, It doesn't matter what it is. When you and I say something, it has effect in the world, in the earth. Why? Because we're made in God's image, and he created everything by what he said. So when we speak, it carries weight. So, and I'm saying that to say this, that when you leave the house, I've seen this happen. When I leave my customer's house and I say, you have a happy Thanksgiving. You have a Merry Christmas. It takes people, some people, no, literally, some people's countenance change. Now, you don't, if you don't work with the public, maybe you don't see this, but I'm with the public every day, and you know, and it's quickly changing over to happy holidays, and that's what everyone expects. But when you say what it is, you know, we have so much power with what we say, but the things that have the greatest power are the things that are true. And we can speak a lie, and it carries power, But it doesn't carry nowhere near the power of when we say something that's true. Why? Because he is truth. And when he says it and we say it, it carries great power. So this one lady was shaken up when I said to her, "You have a happy Thanksgiving." I saw it. I mean, the whole atmosphere of the house changed. I thought to myself, wow, God. Okay, during his administration, President Lincoln issued many orders similar to this. For example, on November 28, 1861, he ordered government departments closed for a local day of Thanksgiving. Imagine that. Sarah Hale, a 74-year-old magazine editor, wrote a letter to Lincoln on September 28, 1863, urging him to have a day of our annual Thanksgiving made a national and fixed upon festival. She explained, "You may have observed that for some years past, there has been an increasing interest felt in our land to have the Thanksgiving held on the same day in all the states, because before it was issued locally by state by state. It now needs national recognition and authoritative fixation only to become permanently an American custom and institution. Prior to this, each state scheduled its own Thanksgiving holiday at different times, mainly in New England and other northern states." President Lincoln responded to Mrs. Hale's request immediately, unlike several of his predecessors who ignored her petitions altogether. In her letter to Lincoln, she mentioned that she had been advocating a national Thanksgiving date for 15 years as the editor of some paper. George Washington was the first president to proclaim a day of Thanksgiving, issuing his request on October 3rd, 1789, exactly 74 years before Lincoln's. So let's see. Here it is. It was actually written by his Secretary of State. Mr. Seward was his name. Let me get his full name. William H. Seward penned it. President Lincoln signed it. So bear with me. A proclamation. This year, the year that is drawing towards its close, has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are so extraordinary in nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequal magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, France would have been one of those, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict, while that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union. Needful diversions of wealth and strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements and the mines, as well as of iron and coal, as the precious metals have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield. And the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. Imagine that. Imagine the president, the head of state, saying that no human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, have nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly and reverently and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise. It was a day of thanksgiving and praise. What we learn by studying history. So, He goes on that as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. Now, some atheists have recently issued, have taken up lawsuits in our court system to try and strip the influence of Christianity from our nation, saying that we had really no Christian foundation. I want to know what other world religion has their God represented as a father. Someone please tell me, besides Christianity. But here it is. It's right here. This is the Christian God. This is no other God other than God our Father, as recorded in the scriptures. So he says again, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, and sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to deal with the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes. With the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof, I hereto set my hand and the call seal of the United States to be fixed. So that was written by William H. Seward, Secretary of State, in October 1863, recognizing divine purpose, recognizing the providence of God. All of this over this nation, it's quite remarkable, to think that when you look at our nation now, it's quite remarkable to see the transformation that has happened. Okay, so the scripture, as you know, is replete. It's filled with commandments, filled with exhortations for us to give thanks to God. Everywhere from cover to cover. I want to mention a few and mention and ask or look at, for instance, this first word we'll ask, why are we to give thanks to God? And you can answer them with personally. You can answer them scripturally. But I just want to share a few scriptures. Why are we to give thanks? 2 Samuel chapter 22, David says, and 2 Samuel 22 is actually Psalm 18 in its context. When David had been delivered from all his enemies, he wrote Psalm 18 and is represented in 2 Samuel 22. And without reading the whole text, I just want to read a few verses, in verses 48 through 50. He wrote, "It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise up against me. You have delivered me from the violent man, therefore." For David, the why did he give thanks? David was hunted by Saul for some, they believe, 13 to 17 years. David was a man who, he told Jonathan, Saul's son, he says, "There's a step between me and death." That's what he said. He said, "There's a step. I make one false move and Saul will kill me." So when David was delivered from all his enemies, David said, "Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles." David gave thanks. Why? Because God was his deliverer. We just got finished singing the song, "You are my shield, my strength, my fortress, my portion, my deliverer." And many of us have stories about how God, not many of us, every one of us, has stories about how God has delivered us in one way or another that we could tell over and over and over again. So thanksgiving is rendered to God for all his great goodness toward us. You know, sometimes, and I feel that, you know, this day is appropriate for us to, though our Thanksgiving Day has become all about football to a lot of people, is it the day after that that's Black Friday or something like that? And so people's minds are on Black Friday about shopping. And some people, while they're shopping on Black Friday, they die. Now, if your mind was focused on Thanksgiving and not shopping. You probably would. No, people have died when the onrush, when they open up the doors, and people run through the doors to try and get these sales, and people trampled to death. And you say to yourself, come on now. Come on. That's not what Thanksgiving is about. Every year it happens. You just watch the news. I don't want to say anything bad is going to happen, but it happens every year. So why do we give thanks? 1 Chronicles 16 and 20, 16 and 34. David says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. One of my favorites. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For the Lord is good. He's good. Why do we give thanks? Because the Lord is good. And you can sit down in prayer time and just thinking about the goodness of God. Just how good he is. Listen, listen. God would be good, listen, if there were no evil. Goodness is a characteristic. He's intrinsically good. He doesn't need evil to compare with in order to get good. He's already good, you see? And so it's amazing how David says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. His goodness is revealed to us through mercy. That's how we come and to realize the goodness of God is through his mercy. That word for mercy, hased in the Hebrew, is actually loving kindness. His loving mercies toward us. So we give God, we give thanks to God because of his intrinsic worth, glory, and goodness. Right? 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse, starting in verse 41. David, if you'll remember when David, the ark of Saul, lost the ark to the Philistines. David, they get it back, but it's in Obed-Edom's house for like 20 years. When David becomes king, Saul, you'll remember, he stopped seeking the ark because last time he saw it, God didn't speak to him. And that's when he went to the witch at Endor. And so Saul didn't care about the ark anymore. So it was Obed-Edom. So all the time that David's being chased by Saul, the ark is there. As soon as David becomes king, you know the first thing he did? He said, I got to have the presence. I want him. I desire him. I want the ark. I'm going to go get the ark. And what does he do? So he goes and he gets the ark. And when David goes and gets the ark, he doesn't take it back to Mount Gerizim. He doesn't take it back to where Moses had set up the tabernacle. David brings it to his city. He brings it to his city. And he does it. And he sets it in a tent. And the tent has no veil in it. Hello? What? This is called David's tabernacle. So he sets up, and people just come in and offer up, the priests come in, offer up sacrifices, and so forth. And then David is the one who said, okay, get the priests, get the Levites. David made instruments with his hands, and he put them in the hands of the Levites. He says, now, stand before the Lord. He said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to play the drums. I want you to play the cymbals. And you blow the horn. Blow the horn. See, this is what we do. We take the people that blow the horn and set them up on high. When actually it's who they're blowing the horn to. Amen. That you would have set up on high. Amen. And that's why all the whole entertainment industry is totally off. Because God gave them a talent to magnify him, but we look at them and magnify them because of the talent that God gave them. Totally wrong. Totally wrong, right? And so David sets these men before the Lord, and he tells them, let me turn to it real quick, First Chronicles. He tells them, get on that horn, and I want you to minister. Get on the drums, get on the cymbals. And I want you to minister to the Lord. And in verse 37, it says this. After they had this great gathering, they sang this song that David had written, the Psalm of Thanksgiving. And verse 37 says, of 1 Chronicles 16, so he left Asaph and his brothers there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord to minister before the ark regularly. as every day's work required. He left them there. I thought about that. How would you like to be left before the presence of God to minister? They just left them there. I thought, what a privilege. What a privilege. Okay. So down further in verse 41, it says this. And with them, Haman and Jeduthun and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord. There were men who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord. Levites and priests who were chosen to give thanks. Well, beloved, I got news for you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, you and I were chosen. You and I were chosen. And that our names are written down in heaven. And what are we to do? To give thanks to the Lord. You know one of the things you and I are going to be doing for all of eternity? Giving thanks to the Lord. So simple, yet so powerful. God has cherubim and seraphim. Lest we think, for real, is that all I'm going to be doing? Well, that's not all you're going to be doing. I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know what you're all going to be doing, but I can tell you this. God created cherubim and seraphim, and you know what the cherubim do in the book of Revelation? They give honor, praise, and thanks. And they say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And they say it from evening to the morning, and from the morning to the evening, lest we think that just giving thanks is such a lowly, is that all I'm going to be doing? Is my thanksgiving in this life, does it mean anything? So, some of the reasons why. Let's deal with when. When should I give thanks to the Lord? We all know the answers to this, right? I'm not preaching anything deep. I'm not. Psalm 30, verse 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. I will give thanks to you forever. So we will live forever so that we can give thanks to God forever, for he is forever worthy of thanks because of his great salvation bestowed upon us. Psalm 79:13, so we your people and sheep of your pasture will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. Ephesians 5 in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God. Giving thanks how often? Always. Giving thanks when? Always. So you mean that the life that I'm now living, there is always an occasion to give God thanks? Exactly. There's always an occasion. You mean when I break my leg, my right leg, there's an occasion to give God thanks? Yes, that you didn't break your left one when you broke the right one. Yes, there's an occasion to give God thanks. You mean, Pastor, when my truck broke down on 95, this happened to me. When my truck broke down on 95 heading south to a job, there's an occasion to give God thanks? Yes, because it broke down, I pulled right over to the side. Could have broke down in the middle of the five lanes with traffic passing me at 65 miles an hour. There's reason to give God thanks. There's always, always, always. There's always an opportunity, an occasion to give God thanks. And so Paul wrote, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can I give God thanks for all things? How can I give it? Well, because if you believe in the sovereignty of God, if you believe that whatever happens to you couldn't happen to you unless it passed him, if you believe that whatever he allows, he will take you through and cause you to overcome, then you can give thanks to God. You can give thanks. Where should we give thanks? Well, if when we should give God thanks is always, where we should give God thanks is everywhere. Amen. Psalm 6 and verse 5, for in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? Well, if in the grave nobody gives you thanks, then that means everyone alive ought to be doing what? Giving God thanks. Huh? If you're alive, God is worthy of your thanks. Amen? I point back to my old saints. I remember coming up in the Baptist church, standing up and testifying before service. Well, Father, saints, I just given honor to God, passed so forth. So first I want to give God thanks for waking me up this morning, starting me on my way. And now that I'm of the age that those saints are, I can say it, but not in a mimicking way, but I can say it with awe and the meaning, and now I know exactly what they're talking about. And I wholeheartedly concur with them that God actually woke me up this morning, started me on my way. And when I wake up in the morning, you know how you do, you wake up, you become conscious. You come out of the subconscious, and you become conscious, right? And when you become conscious, now, typically, when you wake up in the morning, whatever was on your mind before you went to bed is typically kind of can come back to your mind in the morning. But when you wake up in the morning and one of your first thoughts is, he woke me up. He woke me up. Thank you that you woke, because you didn't have to. We take it for granted. We take so much for granted. We think, like, I belong in today. That's right. I belong here. No. No, he allowed you to be here. He's still God of the heavens. He's still the sovereign Lord, right? Psalm 18:49, therefore I will give thanks to you, Lord, among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. Give thanks to God among the unsaved. The Gentiles were not, they weren't the covenant people. They were the unsaved of this day. But David said, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles. Every time I think about that, I think of Tim Tebow. He was our good example of that. See, whenever he would get before the crowds, he would say, first, I want to give thanks to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every time, the boy was faithful as the sun is the rise. He would always, I want to give thanks to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He always gave thanks to God, and he did it. He didn't do it just in the company of Christians. He did it on national television, in the public eye, so that the whole world could see. And when we were at home discussing and his career and so forth, I was saying to my children, now, don't be surprised if God didn't have him there but for that season. Because, you know, we would think he was going to go to the Super Bowl and all these great things. He's a Christian and he honors God. And you know how we Christians get. Therefore, he ought to go and win the Super Bowl. No. But he was honoring God. And it's for that little season of time, maybe a year he had, that he did that. Fine. He honored God. But he gave thanks to God before the unsaved. And what an example he was. Psalm 35, verse 18, I will give thanks to you in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. And so the gathering of God's people, if there's any place you ought to feel comfortable, like Loretta did today, just stand up and give God thanks. What has he done? Talk of it. Talk about it, right? There's nothing wrong with that. And be a blessing and an encouragement to somebody else. Us giving thanks to God. So not only why, not only when, not only where, but akin to why, is for what? Give God thanks for what? We already mentioned Ephesians 5:20, which says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving him thanks for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we know this one well. In everything give thanks. In everything. And so I, like you, go to work. I, like you, have things that happen at work that you say, well, why? Did it have to be this, you know, come on, we go there, right? And I'm learning. I'm being instructed by the Holy Spirit day by day that that's not the right, you're not asking the right question, you see? So when that didn't happen, when that happened not to your liking, you know it could have been worse. What you ought to be saying is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In everything, you need to be giving thanks. David said this, I will bless the Lord while I have my being. I shared on this a few months ago. He said, as long as I'm alive, I will bless the Lord. As long as I'm aware of myself, he said, I will give thanks to God while I have my being. Psalm 104:33. Very important. So in 1 Thessalonians, he says, in everything, give thanks. Why? Here's just as important, for this is the will of God. So as the Holy Spirit's ministering to me about giving thanks in everything, why is that so important? Because, son, this is the will of God for you. Amen. In other words, the testimony of your life is that you will have nothing in your life over which you cannot give God thanks. Why is that so important? Because then the devil won't be able to come and tempt you into being dissatisfied with God. Because that's what he was doing with Job. That's what he was doing with Job. So in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. It's the will of God for you and I to be thankful about everything. Everything. 1 Timothy 2:1. I know some Christians have problems with this. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority. Where to give thanks? You mean where to give thanks for the president, our governor? I didn't vote for him. I don't like him. You don't have to like him to give thanks for him. Hello? But if you believe there's a sovereign God who raises up one, who puts down one and raises up another, then you believe that God has allowed these people to come into office and that we're to pray for them, that we're to thank God for them. Father, I thank you for our president. I thank you for our governor. I thank you for the supervisor over Fairfax County. That's a seat of government, right? And I give you thanks for them. Pray for them. Yeah. In everything, give thanks. And Paul says here that we're to give thanks for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. And scholars remind us that when Paul wrote that Nero was ruling Rome. And if you know anything about Emperor Nero, who had his mother killed and his wife murdered and who was sleeping with another man, the Emperor of Nero. If you know any of your history, you would know that you would say, well, wait a second. That's not quite the type of man. He said, give thanks for all who are in authority, because there's no other authority but the authority that God has allowed. So God is sovereign. He's sovereign. Now, we can't work it out with why God allows. Our minds are too puny. I mean, don't even try. But God allowed it. And then for my last reference, I'm trying to, I said, I may have to change something that I said earlier. Maybe. Remember I said, I believe it was last week, that when you give thanks, it's because someone has done something good toward you. In other words, it is a reciprocation. You're giving back of something. Well, so I'm reading in the book of Revelation. And let me read now Revelation chapter 4. We're talking about the four living creatures, who are cherubim, okay? It says in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. and they do not rest day or night. Now, these creatures were around the throne and in the midst of the throne, God's throne. Okay? So these creatures are among, there's cherubim, there's seraphim. Seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6, right? And then there are angels, right? So God created the cherubim, the seraphim, created the angels. These are unfallen cherubim, unfallen. Lucifer was a cherub. He was the anointed cherub that covered. He's a fallen cherub, a fallen angel, Lucifer is, right? But these are unfallen cherubs. And it says that they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come." Right? And then verse 9, he says this, "Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne." Now, so when I read that, I said to myself, now, they give glory and honor. I understand that. But what does a cherub give thanks for? Well, we know the scripture says, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. That could be, that would could apply to the cherub, because that stems from God's own goodness, his thanks. But I was also thinking about, you know, what benefit, what favor does would God have shown towards an unfallen angel or cherub? So they say, they give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." And here is, for me, where I get, and this would be for me my most beloved reason for giving God thanks, or most, I guess, all-encompassing is this. Try and get your mind around it. God created us. This is very, it's very simple. It's not deep. But God created us so that we could know him. Amen. Right? God created that cherub. And that cherub sees and knows God in all of his glory, power, and honor. And for that, the cherub says, God did not have to create us. He didn't have to create anything. Beyond that, he did not have to create a creature that could know him. A rabbit doesn't know God the way we know God. It's a created, it's a creature, but it doesn't know him the way we know him. And so, I find myself thanking God all day long. Not because, and I do, believe me, I thank him. You don't know how much I thank him for so many things that have happened, so many that his hands have orchestrated. It's just God. It's God all day and all night long. It's God. But I find myself thanking him more than anything for this one reason. Thank you for making me so that, and redeeming me so that I could know you. Because that was your whole purpose in making me. For your will, they were and are created. And so for any creature, these cherubs, the seraphim, all the angels, the prime of their existence, the reason for their existence is to know God. And thus, if we know him, then we are to praise him, to worship him, to thank him, to glorify his name. Amen? That's the full purpose of our being created. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this day, for this week of thanksgiving, for the proclamation that was given years ago. But we thank you, oh God, for indeed your hand is over our lives, over, Lord, our state, over this nation. Lord, you have indeed been good to us. And Father, you've answered the prayers of your people time and time again. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we would indeed live not only Thanksgiving Day, not only the week or the month, but just the year, that we would know what it was is like to simply be full of thanksgiving. Father, that we, that our hearts would be pointed to every instance of your goodness. Lord, open up our eyes, Lord, to even things that we have missed, even the subtle inferences, even the things that you have done, Lord, that have so changed the course of our lives. Lord, where we missed it, we didn't see it, oh God. But when we're in prayer, and when we're in quiet time, and when we're meditating, when we're just, Lord, thinking on you, and Lord, having our mind parked, Lord, and meditating on your goodness, Lord, have it stir us up all over again so that the thanksgiving could flow, that we could live in a life of thanksgiving, so that the will of God would be done in us, that we would truly in everything give thanks. Lord, help us to live that way. Help us to know that reality, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you real good.